since you've been gone. You know I can't take it. I don't know who can. I'm not gonna make it. I'm not that kind of man. Oh, I can't sleep at night, but just the same.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Billy J. Kramer podcast. just kidding there. Welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris. And we were just listening to the Billy J. Kramer version of I Call Your Name.
And the Dakotas. Isn't that weird that it's Dakotas?
That is kind of a precursor of future history here with the with John Lennon living in the Dakota. Yeah, pretty interesting. So today's topic, it's our last episode of Songs Under the Microscope for 2017. And we thought we'd go out with this year looking at a song that I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I was listening to this song. It just came on shuffle, and I just thought, that's kind of a quirky tune, and it's really hidden. It wasn't on a real album. It was, didn't have a lot of publicity, and so I thought it might be interesting to dig into this tune because it has a lot of cool things happening musically, and it also has an interesting historical chart. So for a couple of reasons that we're going to talk about too. So before this episode, what did you think of "I Call Your Name"? If I were to just say it,
I probably didn't very much. Mm-hmm. It's a buried sort of obscurity. And it was like a throwaway.
Yeah.
But songs the Beatles gave away, right? And then they gave it away to Billy J. Kramer there. Billy J. Kramer recorded it, not very well. and then they tossed it on a B-side to Bad to Me.
Yep. So, which was another reject.
Yeah. So then John Lennon's like, well, I don't like that. Their version's terrible. I want it back, mm-hmm. right? So he records one during the Hard Day's Night sessions, and then Richard Lester is like, "Nah, it sounds too much like you can't do that."
Right. Yeah. So it kind of never had a home in a way, or never a happy home.
Yeah.
Even though John, as we know, when we look back at all the John Lennon interviews, he's usually pretty negative about a lot of his songs, but he actually liked this one. He said it was kind of bluesy. He said, "I wrote this when there was no Beatles and no group. It was my effort as a kind of blues. It was one of my first attempts at a song. And then I liked this one. I wrote the middle eight just to stick it in the album when it came out years later." So very early tune. And for that, it's kind of interesting historically.
Well, I think for us who had gotten past masters back in the day, that this was like a real standout because it's like, oh, one you hadn't really heard. I guess it had made a British release not until the 70s,
mm-hmm.
Rock and roll music, and it was on the Long Tall Sally EP.
Yeah, these are, I think, four of your favorite songs, right, on this. This was the UK EP from June of 64. We have I Call Your Name, Long Tall Sally, Slow Down, and Matchbox.
Real must-have. but during Past Masters came out, you got all these ones you hadn't heard very much.
Yeah, B-sides and stuff.
B-sides. Yeah. And I think this is probably a standout of that. I guess this would have been on Past Masters 1?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Correct. Good.
It is sort of unique for a lot of reasons, and some of it has to do with... before we even get into the Beatles version, I just have to agree with the Billy J. Kramer version is not too outstanding. How would you describe it? We were doing some dancing during it here, a little bit like dorky dancing.
Well, it's sort of like all of these Beatle-esque groups that popped up that just were complete copies of of the Beatles, some more successful than others, but Billy J. Kramer here and the Dakotas is like a perfect example of that. It's just like they have 0% of the charisma of the Beatles. So if it's lacking anything, it's charisma.
Yeah.
There's another version by the Buckinghams.
Yeah.
Which is another similar kind of thing. We won't play that one mercifully.
No, they were best known for Kind of a Drag. which kind of sounds like their version of I Call Your Name. Right, you know that one. So
real skipper.
Real skipper.
Turn the channel Kind of Drags on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, let's get into this this tune a little bit here. As we said, it was on this EP, and it was recorded during the Hard Day's Night session, and you can tell that by one big reason, because of the guitar that George Harrison is playing. It's the first appearance of the 12-string Rickenbacker. And so that it really stands out, even though, as some people have noted, he flubs the guitar part halfway through. But apart from that, it sounds pretty good. So you've
well, it's hard playing those extra strings.
It so is. I know you got
give them a break.
That's true. Good point. Good point. So, yeah.
Have you ever played the 12-string, Dave?
I have played a 12-string, and it's tricky. Your fingers are slipping around a lot because the strings are so close together, and it is very hard to you got to get used to it. And so
I think it's great playing chords.
Yes, yes.
But when you start playing licks on it, it's very, very, very difficult.
Yeah,
I could never do it.
No, it is very tricky. You'd really have to practice. So if someone wants to buy me a 12-string Rickenbacker, I'd be happy to practice on it and let you know, because it's one of my dream guitars, but they're very expensive.
I just want to send that out to our wealthiest fans.
Like, yes, of course, of course.
Want to send us gifts of any type.
It is that time of year, so.
You know. We'll go back to one of our upcoming episodes. We'll give you a whole list of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's at the top of mine because it just sounds great.
Oh, yeah. It stand out.
Yeah.
I mean, it does sound good, despite the flub.
Yeah.
It does sound good. It kind of makes the tune.
Right, right. And another thing that makes the tune, which Richard Lester probably noticed, was the cowbell that really stands out that is in You Can't Do That.
And gotta have more cowbell.
The joke was coming. You knew it was coming. Yeah. But that cowbell really does stand out and gives it a drive, like a very forceful drive rhythmically.
Now, once again, on these mono vinyl releases, which I've probably mentioned 100 times,
yeah.
you can hear that cowbell right from the start. Really,
yeah.
Really blistering cowbell. Not it in the stereo, the one that most people have heard. It pops up around the time that the vocals get going.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
A lot of mixes exist of this.
Strangely enough, for a tune that never really found a home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also unusual if you're talking about vocals. There's no background on this at all. It's just John the whole time through, which is kind of a unusual feature. You usually expect Beatles songs to have background vocals somewhere, but not in this one.
So, yeah.
Kind of unusual for that.
Yeah, if you want to dig into the minutia of the four different mixes, like the U.S. area mix being slightly different, then feel free to do that on your own time online, listener. But it's. I mean, for people who like, I get into that a little bit. Like, it is exciting to hear a version that's a little bit different, like the one with the more cowbell. Definitely, cowbell stands out.
Yeah, certainly does. So, the probably for me, when I was re-listening to the song, it does kind of just sound like You Can't Do That. But what stands out so much about this tune is the middle section where George's guitar solo happens. It has a completely different feel. And there aren't a lot of early Beatle tunes that have that, where it's a completely different feel. And John Lennon said it was an early attempt at ska, the reggae beat of Jamaica that gained popularity in the 60s. And are you a big ska fan, Chris?
I'm not a huge ska guy myself, but you do hear it here a little bit. It's a little odd, though, because it feels like the drums, to me, feel like nothing changes on the drum track. But the ska feels sort of they shift the beat that they're putting, the emphasis they're putting on the beat.
Yeah,
in the guitars. So it's a very strange kind of mumbo jumbo is the wrong word because it kind of works.
Yeah,
but very very odd kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like a shuffle feel suddenly. But yeah, Ringo sort of stays the same. And the inspiration, I was looking in Revolution in the Head by Ian MacDonald, and he says at one point that the inspiration might have been the song My Boy Lollipop, which you remember that one? My Boy Lollipop, which is a ska tune which was a big hit that same year, right before this was recorded, around the same time. So, may have influenced the little switch to that feel. But other than that, it's really got a lot of the classic early Beatle traits to it. A couple of cool chords. I've talked before about modal mixtures. Here, I have to geek out here, a little theory geek talk. But with the idea where you're playing usually you play a major chord in a major key. In this case, he plays a minor four, which is very Beatle-y. And then there's something really fancy, which is a German augmented sixth chord. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Keep listening. Don't turn off the podcast yet.
No, I'm right. You know, you always apologize for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's a certain percentage of the fans who are like, "Oh yeah, let's I can't believe it. He's finally getting into the theory."
Yeah. Well, it's cool, especially in this song, is right before at the end of the bridge, "Don't you know I can't take it? I don't know who can. I'm not going to make it. I'm not that kind of man." Right there, you've got a chord. So in this, you're in the key of E, and suddenly you have a C major chord, which is not very related at all, and it sounds really cool on that particular lyric. I'm not that kind of man. And so we call that a German six, because it resolves to the five, to the dominant, which is B major. So anyway, interesting chords that are happening there, and makes it stand out, especially with the sound of the 12 string.
This holds form somewhat with the, "Hey, we're going to go to the solo, so let's shout something."
Yeah.
But they shout sort of a different, it's sort of like a, "Ah!" It's like a little different than their usual thing. It's like, well, they realize they're repeating themselves with the shout before the solo, but
that's true.
a little bit different sounding.
And then, do you like the ending? Are there some John? Is there some screaming John at the end with the "I call your name, woo! I call your name."
yeah.
So a little fade out and pretty simple form, about only 2 minutes and some seconds. So you pack a lot in. But I think for me, musically, that's the chord progressions and the feel, the switch to the ska feel, really make it stand out and make it unique. So what's going on lyrically in this tune?
Well, not much. there's sort of an odd lyric. So it's like, "I call your name, you're not there." You know, it's like guy's missing his girl who left.
Mm-hmm.
"I can't sleep at night since you've been gone." And then, "I never weep at night."
Oh.
Why? "I never weep at night."
It should be, "I always weep at night," right?
Yeah. Oh. I think he's saying, "Oh, I don't cry. I just call your name, wail your name."
Oh, okay.
but it's a little odd.
Uh-huh.
Kind of oddly worded. But, you know, not a whole lot. I mean, it's obviously he wrote it, like you said, before even they were collaborating on writing songs. So But it's, you know, it's still, I mean, it gets its point across.
Yeah.
He really misses the girl.
Sure. Well, according, again, back to McDonald, he says, lyrically a mess. Do you agree with that? It's kind of lyrically a mess. Because John added that.
Don't you know I can't take it? I can't take it. I don't know who can. Like, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And a little bit of a, I don't know.
Let's say the emphasis is not on the lyrics in this tune.
No.
No. No, much more on the music. And he actually also says, McDonald says, the looseness of the performance, Harrison muffing his double time figures on the first middle eight, McCartney shifting up an octave at the end of the fade, suggests the group wasn't trying very hard because they knew probably that the song wasn't up to scratch. Yeah, so
it's brutal.
That is pretty brutal. Yeah, so I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but it's lyrically like a lot of early Beatles songs, not much happening, but it's memorable.
Yeah, so their song gets recorded and comes out in trickles.
Yeah,
but it's kind of, I don't know, surprising is the right word, but there's a lot more cover versions than you'd think of this Beatles obscurity.
And I might say also that they only played it once live, and it was actually still unreleased, but it was on the BBC Saturday Club. They played it on March 31st, 1964, and so then it just disappeared until, yeah, like you say, there are strangely a lot of cover versions, including one that I hope you're going to play, because I think about it a lot when I think of this song. But yeah, it sort of just became forgotten for some reason, then brought back.
Yeah. I'm going to start with the 10th anniversary of John Lennon's death and the 50th anniversary of his birth. There was a special, and they recorded a version with Ringo on vocals.
Oh.
And the track was produced by, you want to take a guess?
Let me guess. Is it super friend of the show, Jeff Lynn?
It is Jeff Lynn.
Yes.
Super friend of the show. Yes. And also the late Tom Petty.
Oh.
And also Joe Walsh and Jim Keltner.
Good group.
So let's take a listen to Ringo's I Call Your Name.
I call your name, but you're not there. Was I to blame for being unfair? Oh, I can't sleep at night since you've been gone. I never weep at night. I can't go on. Don't you know I can't take it? I don't know who can.
Well, what'd you think of that?
Pretty Dave. Good. Got a good, like, real loose, laid-back feel, like a little bluesy kind of feel to it. And I like Joe Walsh's slide guitar solo there.
Well, it makes me think that maybe there was a missed opportunity, and that this should have been a Ringo song to start with.
He sounds good on it. Yeah.
He sounds really good on it. He sings it great.
Yeah.
It's not a challenging song to sing.
Nope.
So maybe this is one that they should have given to Ringo, and then it would have been like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we got another Ringo one.
Yeah, so, yeah. Good point. I like that version.
Yeah. The biggest, most famous version. It's probably the one you're chomping at the bit to hear.
Yes.
It's the Mamas and the Papas. I believe this was on their first album.
Correct. Yeah, this is the one.
Yep. And so here it is, Mamas and the Papas.
I call your name, but you're not there. Was I to blame for being unfair? You know I can't sleep at night, but just the same, I never weep at night. I call your name.
Ah, love it, love it, love it. What do you think of the Mamas and Papas version?
Well, they add sort of a ragtime kind of feel to it, and I think that adds a sort of like old timiness to the proceedings. Of course, Mama Cass is perfect in that role as old chanteuse.
Very you know,
it's a big frolicking outfit or something.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's great to hear Mama Cass.
It is, and I think they add some great background vocals that the Beatles didn't, so it fills out the song a little bit more.
Yeah. I'll call your name. Big. That's probably, I would say, if you type up I call your name, well, the Beatles is always going to come up.
Yeah,
first,
yeah.
This one's going to come up second.
Mm-hmm. More than Billy J. Kramer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One that probably won't come up is this... which sounds pretty great. It's you a big punk music guy?
No.
No?
Not generally. I like
so
some
you don't
of the,
remember...
I like some tunes by The Clash, but much more.
Well, you don't remember the 1977 LP from The Boys?
No, I don't have that one.
No?
Nope.
Not a big The Boys fan. Well, maybe you'll change your mind after we hear The Boys with... I call your name. Blistering.
Well, that's interesting. That's the second version that has switched the feel, but the opposite way. So the Mamas and Papas sped it up in the middle eight, and then this group, the boys, did it the other way. They started out really fast and then slowed it down. So doing a little bit of playing with the tempo here, which was I kind of like that. It works pretty well. A lot of these early Beatles songs do work well as kind of punk harder tunes because they're pretty simple and it's more about the feel.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked that. I liked that one from the Boys.
Yeah, works.
I'll
well.
Have to dig into the Boys' deep catalog. Yeah. I'm sure. So a lot of these punk bands were like one and done.
Yeah, because one offers.
Just like they put out a record, they'd drink the profits away, and somebody'd OD, and that would be about it.
That was
for
it.
That group, unfortunately. Yeah. Claire LePage. Have you ever heard of Claire LePage?
I have not.
A French singer.
This chanteuse.
This looks like it was released in 1967, and it's called Le Vieux Piano.
Oh.
Le vieux piano.
Quebecian singer Claire LePage.
Well, interesting. Sounds a lot like she just put her vocal over the Mamas and Papas version.
Pretty
similar, at least with the honky tonk piano and the background vocals that you like so much. The do 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 do. Yeah. So,
but then it goes into a Hawaiian.
Yeah, piano. Kind of a Hawaiian guitar going there. So.
Weird. So.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think I like that one the best. If I had
most unusual.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Some failed ones were the Shags, Laika and the Waiters.
Uh huh.
The Buckinghams, aforementioned Buckinghams, and not good ones.
No. But so. worth checking out. Sometimes these songs under the microscope, they really do surprise you. Do you think Richard Lester made the right decision to go with You Can't Do That instead of I Call Your Name for Hard Day's Night?
Probably, yeah. And I think this could have, once again, this could have been a Ringo thing. They just kind of didn't, complaints about it or that the execution sort of halfway not great.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a slight misfire, not a terrible song. Where would you put it in the all Beatles songs ranking? It's relatively low, right?
Yeah, I'd say like maybe number 153 or something like that, maybe out of 220.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in the very much middle of the pack to the lower end. But that doesn't mean it's bad, just means there's so many good ones, but... It definitely found its way as a B-side, I think.
Yeah. And you had to get George warmed up on that Rick.
That's right. You got can't go right from that to Hard Day's Night. So yeah.
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 We'll record one. Just play your Rickenbacker. We'll record one.
That's right.
It's a throwaway.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Exactly. But I think that, somebody was saying that. So,
cool. So we'll go out with your as we do all the time on these Songs Under the Microscope. We will go out. So listen for all of these little things. That we mentioned as we play the Past Masters version with a little less cowboy. We want less cowbell.
This will come out right before Thanksgiving, so I wish our American listeners a happy Thanksgiving, and we will be back with our holiday episode very soon, so you can start making your list to send us. So enjoy, and we will catch you soon.
You're not there. Was I to blame for being unfair? Oh, I can't sleep at night since you've been gone. I never weep at night. I can't go on. Don't you know I can't take it? Just the same, I never weep at night. I call your name. Ow! Don't you know I can't take it? Just the same.